Good morning, beautiful people. Two apologies are in order today. First, to our listeners who came on for my interview with Erica DeGraff, let me just say it is all on me. My schedule went crazy and I could not meet our agreed upon time. So many apologies. Second apology to Erica, who loosened her schedule. She pushed back the time, did everything she could on her end, and I still couldn't make it. So I truly apologize. And I thank you for being patient, and I pray for another opportunity for an interview. But today, I am confident that you all will enjoy this interview with this anointed sister who's a gospel singer, Christian recording artist, and songwriter. And if you're missing direction, if you need praise, if you need worship, Diamond the Conqueror is going to bring it, y'all. Let's do it.
It's the unknown, unknown. It's the unknown, unknown preacher.
What it is, beautiful people, Unknown Preacher LA. Hope y'all are doing well. And as always, we're thankful to have you join us. I'm your boy, LA, aka Lonzo, aka Mr. Nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Amen. And we want you to be excited as we are to meet today's guest. She's tearing it up in the Baltimore area, doing it all and putting God first. Gospel singer, worship leader, songwriter, and Christian recording artist, Diamond the Conqueror. What's happening, Diamond?
Hi, LA. Thank you so much for inviting me to be on your show. I'm really, really excited.
Oh, man, I am excited, man. Isn't God just so good, my sister, you know? I just love meeting so many wonderful people all about kingdom business. So I thank God for the show and to meet people like yourself.
Yes, thank you for, you know, having a lane for Christian artists, gospel artists, and worship leaders to be able to have a platform to partner with you in that ministry effort.
Man, I like you already, man. You're saying all the right things, man. Yes, yes. And, you know, like you just said, as artists and artists to artists, oftentimes people don't understand God is first and then the work, but it takes so much. We have to put so much work into our music, so much time, but in order to make it right for Jesus, you know?
Exactly.
Yes, yeah. So tell us about the origin of Diamond the Conqueror. And I like that name, by the way.
Yes, thank you. I believe that God gave me the name back in 2015. Mm-hmm. However, like at that time, I was writing secular music. I feel like a lot of like Christian artists kind of have those origins. Like, of course, I started off singing in the church,
mm-hmm.
Arkham Hills Chapel Center, okay, since yes. I was six. And just, you know, singing gospel songs. But once I became an adult, I, you know, started writing secular music. So that's when I got Diamond the Conqueror. But it wasn't until, like, during that part of my journey, I ended up encountering Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Word, and I had to, like, I didn't, like, immediately stop making secular music, but it definitely was, like, an ongoing, evolution, I'll say.
I love it. And isn't it because I too started out in secular rap and wasn't it just so, what word am I looking for? Rewarding when you transition. And I was like, wow, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I didn't feel as satisfied doing secular rap. Am I making sense? Does that sound about right for you too? Yeah,
absolutely. I actually feel like it's easier for me to write this kind of content versus when I was trying to write secular music, because it just didn't really feel like me all the way, but there are parts of me that could relate to that kind of music, obviously, but mm-hmm. it was like my true self, you know, that the true self that God was molding me to be. So eventually, like, as I changed, my taste in music changed, and the kind of inspiration I had when it came to creating changed.
Well said, well said. And I remember our record companies basically telling me and my group to, you know, they want us to be hard, you know, they wanted us to kind of, you know, talk about hurting my people, which I refuse to do that. And so I was willing to give it up altogether. So, man, God is so good. He already knew this.
I've heard, like, through, like, you know, online interviews, like, but I always thought it was like a little bit of conspiracy, but I've heard that these record labels will tell the artists, like, this is what we want you to be writing about. This is what we want your music to be about. Like, I didn't know that was actually true, that writers and artists don't have the freedom to make the kind of music that they want to do once they're signed. So to hear your testimony and see that it's actually valid is wild.
Oh, yeah. And they do it in their own subtle way that, you know, your approach is a little soft and, you know, they don't directly say, hey, you need to talk about hurting each other, but, or hurting your people or who, whatever, but it's like, it's a little soft, it's
wow,
Cornish, you know, that they use that kind of language, and you know, they try to spark a plug. And I'm ashamed to say that we initially kind of tried something as a group. There's one song that we tried that I will forever regret, but it never left the studio, thank God. And man, yeah. But I love what you said, because you're being yourself. It's authentic. And that's exactly how I feel, man. And now you're from Baltimore, right?
So technically I'm from Maryland. And I say that because I've lived in so many different parts of Maryland, so many different counties, you know, from mm-hmm. Clark County to PG County. I've lived like all over Maryland. So I just lived in Baltimore. This is like year three.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not a Baltimore native, but I definitely believe that there's work to do here. Yes. And I definitely feel like I've been like sent here. And so I'm here.
Well, I love it, man. And they love you in the area. So do you have plans to travel outside of the area and kind of do your thing? Because I love what I've seen so far in the DMV.
That's a really good question. I guess I never really, of course, every artist wants to be able to reach more people with their music. You know, that's just, especially when you're doing it for God, you feel like you're called to an even larger audience because you're trying to disciple or make disciples through your music. So, of course, I would love the opportunity. It's not something that I've sat down and planned, but it would be really rewarding to be able to do that. I'll say that.
Yeah, I love it. And it sounds like you're the type, you're going to be obedient. So I have no doubt.
Definitely. Everybody told me, don't move to Baltimore, don't move to Baltimore. And trust me, I'm someone that never wanted to be in Baltimore. Okay.
Wow.
But when I felt like God was like sending me there for a purpose, for a work, I didn't argue with him. I mean, of course, I was like, God, you know, I don't want to go there. But if you said that's where I'm going to go, that's where I'm going to go. So definitely will be obedient to his direction.
Amen. And so tell our listeners about the work involved to be a worship leader. Man, that seems so involved. I know going up the ranks is challenging when you not only are worrying about yourself but also others. So for me, it was just so easy to just make certain that I'm doing things accordingly, but to be responsible or trusted to lead others. So tell us about that.
You really captured the whole thing. Like, it's really not a joke thing. Like, being a worship leader, and I've never even been a worship leader in real life. A huge mega church, like, you know, like TD Jakes, but I've I've had to like lead worship in environments where there's people of different cultures, different stages in their faith walk, obviously. And what you said about that responsibility, it is so heavy because, like you said, you can't just be out here like living any kind of way as a worship leader, something so sensitive and sacred as the worship of a holy God. And then you're leading people to do that. If the enemy gets any access to you as a worship leader, he will pervert your position. He will pervert your gift. It may seem like really subtle at first, but eventually he will try to plant his seeds because he was like the worship leader in heaven, you know, before he was kicked out. So he knows the power of music. He knows the power of like being able to move people through song.
Yes.
He can make you a vessel, but in the name of Jesus, you're playing a dangerous game there. So it's that pressure of having to stay consecrated. It's the work of having to make set lists and organize rehearsals and conduct the rehearsals, make sure everybody's on one accord. When one of your musicians not going to be available that Sunday or that for that event, trying to find another one, it's like, it's so much work, honestly. And then when you're actually doing it, you know, when we get to worship in church, right, or by ourselves, like we get to do whatever. You know, you can sing off key. You can only sing some of the parts. You can end up stop singing because you're crying because the Holy Spirit done filled you. But when you're leading worship, you have to be a little bit more sober than you probably would if you were in the congregation.
Yes.
You can't just get so drunk in the spirit that you forget that you're leading people, you know? So to me, that was like a challenge for me because I've always been like a true worshiper, but when I had to be responsible for how other people respond to a worship atmosphere, it was a lot of pressure for me because I just want to be able to worship God. I don't want to have to be all technical, but when you're leading worship, there's a technical piece there. All right, that was very long-winded. Sorry.
No, that's great. Trust me, I love when my guests expound on this. It makes for a good conversation. So unlike, you know, even though this is picked up on a radio station, it still has the podcast vibe. And I tell my guests, you know, radio is cool, but it's so organized and scripted. This is conversational. So Don't apologize. I love it. Does it seem, because I can imagine you said some things that made me think when you talked about sating and perverting this, you know, ministry. I'm thinking about things being divisive among members and personalities clashing and sometimes trying to manage that and maybe even people who may not have the right sound for a song and they think they should lead. Honestly, I've never been in a choir. I never done the worship praise. So I'm just speaking just from assumption. So tell me, am I hitting it on point or is it a little more in depth?
I honestly think that the hardest part of working in a team is dealing with people. Yeah. And that's something that's always been hard for me because I have like a very strong personality, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But at the same time, I've like oftentimes struggled with people pleasing. So that is a bad combination when you're in leadership. So dealing with the people, like you said, the different personalities, is everybody going to agree, you know? And one thing I'll say from my experience that when the team is in disagreement, like, it hinders the flow of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
It really impacts the flow. And so people management and relationship management is very, very important when you're leading worship as a team or as an individual because you never want to be blocking the flow because of pettiness, unforgiveness, or bitterness, or envy, jealousy, whatever, you know, these things that can come up when you're dealing with people. You have to be very, very, very careful to stay on one accord.
Yeah. Wow. They picked the right person. You're so spot on. So when you look at your career, what have you learned about yourself? I'm all about self-reflection.
Yeah, thanks for asking such a deep question, because it's something that I had to think about. For me personally, when it comes to like my music career, like the music I make, or even if I'm singing, whatever it has to do with music in me, I feel like over the years I've always struggled to like find my voice. Like I would work with some musicians who were more seasoned than me, and they would always be talking about, you got to find your voice, and that would really trouble me because I never felt like I had my voice. I feel like I have the gift to sound almost like anybody. Like if I want to sing somebody's song, I'm able to like sound just like them and sing it just like them. It's something that I practice like subconsciously. But I realized that even like being able to acknowledge that as a talent, I still felt like inadequate because I didn't have like my own sound. And I just had to embrace the fact that everybody is gifted differently, and I don't need to be comparing myself to people, but it's still obviously like a struggle, But as far as me like getting so hyper focused on finding my sound or creating my sound, I no longer let that like weigh on me.
Wow. Wisdom, wisdom. So you said like anybody, 'cause I'm looking for a Yolanda Adams type of person. So
Oh my God.
you do
Let
Yolanda?
me tell you something. Like, I had a feeling like you're going to be asking me a question like this, and this was going to be my answer. And I was going to talk to you about my struggles about finding my sound, how I can sound like almost anybody. And I thought to myself, who could he be asking me to sing like? Well, I'm telling you, I'm not even lying. When I thought about Yolanda Adams, I was like, he needs to not be asking me about Yolanda Adams. I'm not even lying to you. Her voice like is so strong. So I have a strong voice, but she has so much control over those registers that she's able to hit with that full chest voice that it's hard for me to hang with her. Like she has this song called Only Believe, and I love that song because it starts off real simple, but then she starts going off and like doing these scales. And so yeah, I think the only song I could probably do like her is that Open Up My Heart. I think probably that one. And I haven't even practiced it in a long time, but
Wow.
out of all people, Yolanda.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm a huge, I'm always asking artists about their top five, but she's definitely in there. Probably between her and CeCe are like my all-time favorite. But I tell everyone, and I get clowned because I said when I heard "The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's," I'll cry. I'm a sensitive guy, so I cried a little, but I just love. I'm telling you that voice. Now, I may have a project for you since you said you can do this. Now, I wanna. I'll talk to you about it offline. You
Okay,
know.
what did I get myself into?
Yeah,
This is like, don't do it yourself, okay? Just don't do it.
hey, let's talk about the challenges. What's the hardest part about being an artist?
For me, like especially when it comes to like being a Christian or a gospel artist, the hardest struggle I've had is not allowing, life to be, how can I say, like not allowing circumstances or experiences to impact like your content. In the secular world, they draw reference from their life or their breakup or, whatever they're feeling. They draw inspiration from that, and then that helps them create their art. When it comes to Christian music, gospel music, I feel like our responsibility is to showcase Jesus above all. So yeah, we can relate to people with our circumstances, but what we should be pointing them to in our message ultimately is Jesus, at least for me. So I've struggled with not allowing like the things I've gone through, my experiences, my traumas, my hurts, to weigh so much on how I minister. That's hard. That one's for me is a struggle. So I hope I answered your question.
You did. A thoughtful answer. And I'm gonna flip it now because you're also a songwriter. So what's the hardest part about being a songwriter?
Yeah, so the hardest part about being a songwriter is just making sure, like, Holy Spirit is backing you.
Wow.
Because when I talked about, like, not wanting, like, my life to influence, like, what I create or how I minister, I want the Holy Spirit to...
Listen, listen, listen. You have to get a taste of Treats of the Realm, man. Two sisters who love making treats for special occasions, or if you just want to treat yourself. Hey, listen, you can find them on Facebook, you can find them on IG, or you can email them at treatsoftherealm@gmail.com or give them a call, 910-322-3667. Treats of the Realm.
To be the ultimate influencer. Amen. You know, I don't want just another song that's going to, like, fill people's ears. I really want it to be like an anthem for Holy Spirit to operate in that person, you know? So yeah. Holy Spirit's not backing me. It's just a nice little melody, if that, you know, because people have different tastes in music. But if Holy Spirit's backing me, I know it's gonna complete a work to listen. And that's what matters to me, honestly.
I love that answer. Thank you. So your rendition of I'll Be There, I'll tell you, when I heard it, I said to myself, she colors outside the lines, and I love it. We have to get her on the show. And that's what drew me, believe it or not, when I heard that. How did that come about?
So it's actually like a staple, like that whole song rendition, as you said, is a whole staple to a transition that I went through in my life. So when the last time I was serving as a worship leader, okay, mm-hmm. in a church, I will say that the whole thing did not go well. Mm-hmm. I will say that it did not go well. And I ended up separating from the church, okay? Mm-hmm. That's what I'll say, because I want to be honorable. But it was not a nice departure. So yeah. I was heartbroken at that, you know, because when you join a church, you believe that's your family, you know. So I was heartbroken because I always wanted to serve anyway. And I felt like I found a place where I could really serve. But when that ended, I know that God, like, even as it was ending, I heard God ministering to me about this beyond the wall, beyond the wall, beyond the wall. And so pretty much what he was saying to me is that he was sending me to serve beyond the walls of the church. And on my YouTube channel, I do like a lot of these prophetic teachings. And it was a whole 3-part series called Beyond the Wall. Mm-hmm. So when I did that rendition of that song, you know, like the video is titled like Worship Beyond the Wall, because it was like God gave me an opportunity. Like he manifested like that confirmation, like. He was showing me, I really am sending you beyond the wall, the church to minister to the people who are never going to come to church. And I need you to be able to, like, function in this. And it's great. Mm-hmm. And so to answer your question, like, in short term, that I'll Be There rendition, I was signing up to go and sing at that place, the Encore. And, yeah, I just was trying to fool around with some songs that were going to be, like, I could flip to Jesus. Mm-hmm. I even thought about doing Alicia Keys, If I Ain't Got You.
Oh, wow.
That one, you know, If I Ain't Got You, Jesus.
Yeah.
I ended up with the Jackson 5 one because it was so true. Like, Jesus really will be there. Like, he really will always be there. Like, we just got to call his name. So I felt like that message was just so... much more impactful, you know. And so, yeah, that's how I came up. It was like a manifestation of my launch to minister beyond the walls of the church.
Wow. I love it. It would be great if you could get clearance and record that song, man.
No. How do you get Michael Jackson songs anyway? Like,
well, and see, that's Motown. And so it might be, I don't know, these little wheels right here in this head of mine is always turning, but I'm telling you, man, if you could put that Well, now we done said it. Somebody might try to steal it. The idea. I could see Kurt right? Franklin. Yeah. Well, Kurt Franklin was like, man, that's a great idea. And so, but yeah, that is, wow.
We could no, it was really crazy because I don't even feel like it was one of my best, like, performances vocally. Mm-hmm. But people who have heard me actually sing, they said they were so amazed by that. And I'm like, that's what makes me know it wasn't even about my skill. It was about the message, because how could I know I can sing better than that. But, you know, that's what someone who's always heard me sing, like they preferred that. So that spoke something to me. Again, I think it was just a message. I think it was just a heart posture of being able to meet people where they are, even if it's at a bar, and be able to tell them about Jesus.
Yes. God hands are all on that, amen. All on that song, man. I'm telling you. Yeah. So, who are your top five gospel or solo artists?
Oh, solo artists?
Yeah.
For gospel, right?
Yeah. Now you can do, I forgot, because you're a worship leader too, so you appreciate the collaboration and the group effort. So you can include groups too.
Okay. Well, the reason I was asking, because I really want to acknowledge Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey. Like, I know they're particular artists, but they both have done like some Christian content. They both use their voices like for God, especially Whitney Houston on the Preacher's Wife album. Like, yes. That's a non-skip album. Okay. You don't skip
it. Man. Stop playing. I talked about that on this show. I did a show about music, and I said, you know, hands down, because honestly, that year, and this is, I'm probably more bothered by it than she was, but she didn't get nominated for a Gospel Grammy that year. And I'm like, this was the hottest gospel album at that time. And I remember her making comments about that. So, man, don't get me started on that. I play that album. I have a Christmas playlist, and I play that album every Christmas.
You know, now I think I will try to play it like sometime soon, like next month too, because I haven't heard it in a while. All I know is that when I play it, her voice is just so incredible. Like, to me, I honestly feel like she has the best voice that I have heard. Outside of her, I really like Ty Tribbett. Like, I know he's not really like a solo artist. Per se,
I consider him a solo now. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because he's no longer going by Ty Tribbett and GA or whatever.
Yeah.
He is like a musical genius to me. To me, like, I liken him to like the Christian Kanye as far as musical genius goes and creativity. Yeah. Like, I'm so inspired by his music. Honestly, I like him. Who is that? So far, that's like two, right? God, this is a hard question.
Well, you said Mariah, so we'll give you three if you want to. Okay. Someone else mentioned Whitney and Mariah. That's why I laughed initially when I asked another artist. Yeah.
Yeah, Mariah Carey back in the day, you know, like the late 90s. Some of her music could be turned into Christian music, you know, especially that Anytime You Need a Friend.
Yeah.
That can be about Jesus, you know? So I really like practicing with these kind of powerhouses because it challenged me in my own like vocal ability. So that's why I like them. Of course, I like CeCe Winans because her music is always ministering, always ministering. Like, and I also like vocally, I do like Kiara Shear vocally. Mm-hmm. And I'll just leave that alone.
Man. Is that five?
Mariah Carey, Whitney.
Yeah.
CeCe, Ty, and Kiara.
Yeah. That's a good five. That's a very good five. Wow. And so your writing style, you know, some writers create songs about how good God is. Some talk about their life and struggle. And some just want to praise God. And so what says Diamond?
Yeah, so when it comes to my writing style, like, the songs I've actually, like, recorded for God are, like, written fully for God. They're so mixed up. Like, I have, like, a Christian rap one, okay? It's really old, though, so I think if I heard it now, I'd be a little cringe, but the message was there, okay? It was called Blessings, and it was like, I really was like vibing. Then I also have like this rock song that I wrote.
Wow.
On YouTube, yeah, a Christian rock song. And then I have this song that's more like contemporary gospel, like praise team vibes or whatever. So it's just a mixture for me. Like, I love all the genres of music except for heavy metal, and I'm not really into country because they cry a lot.
Yeah.
But I think I have a very explicit, I don't want to say explicit, but like a very direct approach to my writing. Like, I don't use a lot of metaphors or poetry like mm-hmm. some people do. I think yeah. I'm very direct in what I'm trying to like communicate about God. So it's always going to be like either a testimony through song
yeah.
or just exalting God through song. I think so far that's where I tried to stay at.
Man, I love it. That's what's up. So tell me a little bit about the DMV. Because I'll tell you why I'm asking this. There are so many gospel artists in that area. And I had someone on last week from that area, Guys Tingle, and you two were the two. I'm telling you, God pointed me in y'all directions, and so I stand by that. But there were just so many. I don't want to use the word competitive, but how do you, or do you try to stand out? I know like the rendition of I'll Be There is one way, and like I said, I was drawn by that song. But what are your feelings about that with the work you're doing? And I've always felt like, you know, God's message is for all of us to spread, but at the same time, you want the platform, right? You want the venue to share, you know, a word. So let me stop talking, but what do you think?
I would say, yeah, when it comes to the DMV and just like the gospel artists out here, it can be kind of intimidating because there's been some really great artists that's come from the DMV, like Charles Butler,
yeah.
Anthony Brown, he's mm-hmm. from a church out here, and then JJ Harrison. So, you know, it's like, you know, DMV's on the map when it comes to Christian music. But when you're out here locally, like trying to get gigs and stuff, the part that makes it intimidating is that people are just really talented out here.
Yeah.
They're just, the way that they have sharpened their gifts and invested in their talent, even the musicians, not even just the singers, that's what makes it so competitive, because the people really take their craft seriously. And also, I would say on the flip side of that, like, yeah, there's a lot of talented people, but the way the networking is here mm-hmm. in DMV, when it comes to like the music worship scene, it sadly sometimes about who you know. And
say that again, Diamond. I'm sorry.
All right, sadly, sometimes in the DMV, it's about who you know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I've sat at tables with people who, like, you know, have albums out and they do concerts, you know, like within their network. And I said to them, I said, because they're sitting there going back and forth, I said, you guys don't always pick who's the most anointed. You pick yeah. who you like.
Yeah.
You pick who you like to come and do this concert with you. You pick who you like to promote their music. You know, it's not always like who has the anointing. And so that's one thing that really bothers me. And it makes me want to just like not even be promoting myself, because yeah. I don't want to be associated with that kind of move. You know, yeah, the people are talented, but talent is not like interchangeable with anointing.
That's right.
You know, so we can't be having like American Idol church version because we think this person is talented or we like their music. Like, we need to go where the Holy Spirit is flowing, because that's what's going to be saving lives and changing lives, not someone's talent. Okay, thank you. I'm getting off my soapbox.
No, I'm glad. And I'll add on, because it is, we're not supposed to be mimicking secular. And even in the secular, there are also using looks as a mm-hmm. guy. And that it breaks my heart when I've heard those conversations and discussions. And I'm like, yeah, like you said, it's supposed to be about those who are anointed. It's supposed to be about spreading God's message. And right. you're saying, hey, she's cute. She's marketable. Well, they don't say cute. They say marketable. That's the word. She's marketable. And I'm like, yeah, but that's not the one. So, yeah, I second that. Everything you said, I share those sentiments.
Yeah, and just how you were speaking about just the influence from the secular world, like, even when I see, like, some of the presentation of ministry, okay, mm-hmm. I'm trying to be really careful how I use my words here, but yeah. even how it's presented, it's very, like, performance heavy sometimes.
Yes.
You know? And I'm like, this is, I understand wanting to, like, present, like, something to God in the spirit of excellence, but I can also discern when you're just really trying to, like, showcase yourself. You're trying to, like, perform more than you're trying to minister. So that's, they get that from the world, because the world tells them, like, you know, polish your act, you know, put on a great show. And yeah. unfortunately, like, the church on the West, I'm not even gonna say just the West, because it happens in other parts of the world, but this generation of ministers has to be very careful that we're not seeking the spotlight that belongs to Jesus.
That's amen. Preach.
No, you're the preacher, okay?
No, we all are. You're a preacher through music, but you're speaking facts. I appreciate you. As we close out, I always give my guests the floor so you can talk about your channel. You can talk about any events you're going to make an appearance at. You can, whatever you want to talk about. You actually shared a lot of knowledge today, and I really appreciate it. But the floor is yours.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for letting me come and speak on your platform. Like, it was really cool to be able to share all of this about myself. I'll say, like, as far as my movement is, you've given me the floor. Yeah, I have some things I would like people to check out. Obviously, like, my YouTube channel, which is Diamond the Conqueror. That's where I have all the content that I create, like, whether it's music, whether it's teachings, whatever the Holy Spirit is wanting to produce out of me, it normally goes there. I also have a ministry called Prophetic Millennial. And you can go check out my website, propheticmillennial.com. That's pretty much, like, my ministry that God gave me. And it's to target, like, the millennials, according to Acts chapter 2, verses 16 through 18, where it says, in the last day that God will pour his spirit out on all flesh. Wow. So I believe that, yeah, in the millennials, because I'm a millennial, there's a remnant of us who God has called to be prophetic, you know. And I'm trying to empower and equip and edify those people through my ministry. And lastly, this year I launched my own, like, Christian clothing apparel line. Wow. Called Covenant Baby. And it literally is like a baby right now, but I'm believing God for, like, an increase in that. It will really glorify him, like, in a big way. So those items that I'm selling from Covenant Baby are available, like, on my Bonfire, but the links are, like, all over, like, Instagram. So Instagram's, wow, Covenant Baby Apparel, Prophetic Millennial. And if you just want to, like, get to know me as Diamond the Conqueror, then Diamond the Conqueror.
Man, I love it. I love it. Diamond, we appreciate you. Many blessings. I can't wait for your full actualization. And you know, you already have a place here with the Unknown Preacher LA, man. Don't hesitate to reach out.
No, I appreciate it. This was really great, and it was such an honor to be able to have this conversation with you, LA. I appreciate you. May God bless this ministry, in Jesus' name.
Oh, amen. Diamond the Conqueror, y'all.
Hi.
Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown, unknown preacher.